PR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce. The Strawberry Fields Cafe, looking out on Springfield Avenue, features expanded seating for the deli and coffee bar.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Dr. Andrew Weil is our guest in this portion of the program. He joins us this afternoon to talk about aging gracefully. While he says we can't prevent or reverse the aging process, we may be able to inhibit or delay the onset of diseases that become more likely as we age. Dr. Weil is the author of many books on traditional and non-traditional approaches to health and healthy living. His latest book is Healthy Aging, a lifelong guide to your physical and spiritual well-being. Listeners, I invite your questions and comments for Dr. Weil. You can join the discussion with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, if it would be a long-distance call, call us toll-free. The toll-free number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Healthy Aging is Andrew Weil's 11th book. His earlier books include Spontaneous Healing, 8 Weeks to Optimum Health, and With Rosie Daly, The Healthy Kitchen. Dr. Weil is a graduate of Harvard Medical School. He is a clinical professor of medicine and director of the program in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona. His new book, Healthy Aging, published by Knopf. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Dr. Weil, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure.
You say at the outset of this book, aging is not reversible, and what we need to do is to accept the inevitability of our movement toward physical decline and death and adapt to it.
Now, the problem is that in our culture at the moment, we are being bombarded with voices telling us that the goal should be to grow younger, stop the clock, turn back the clock, and some of these voices are coming from the medical profession as well. There's a whole anti-aging medical movement out there, and the fact is that we do not have any practical methods to affect aging at the moment, and we're not likely to have them in the foreseeable future. So I think aging is natural and inevitable, and I think that all the talk about anti-aging is a vast distraction from what should be the important goal, which is how to live long and well and learn how to keep ourselves healthy as we go through life.
Yeah. I was surprised to read in the book that there is an American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine.
This has thousands and thousands of physician members. They publish journals, books, hold large annual conventions around the world now. And they are working very hard to get themselves recognized as an official specialty of medicine analogous to sports medicine. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, when we're kids, we can't wait to grow up. How does that get turned around so quickly?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're aging all the time. We're aging from the moment of conception. And I think one of the secrets of healthy aging is to learn to pay attention and adapt to the changes that time brings. And actually, a lot of the information in my book is intended for young people, because I think making healthy lifestyle choices when you're young gives you even greater influence over how you're going to and the latter part of life.
Yeah. Now, to those listening this afternoon who are 20-something, mm-hmm. What would you like to say to them?
Well,
about
I'll give you a couple examples. I see an awful lot of people in middle age who have really injured themselves as a result of doing foolish things in their 20s and teens For example, injuries from contact sports that have resulted in knee problems that now really limit mobility and ability to exercise. I think it's also important for young people to understand that all the muscle mass and all the bone density that you have for your life are really laid down by age 30 or a little bit after. And thereafter, it's all downhill. All you can do is slow down losses. So you really want to understand how to eat, how to exercise in ways that put on maximum bone and muscle mass in the only time of life when you can do it, which is your teens and 20s.
Yeah. What are the rewards of aging?
Well, I think there are many. I had a great deal of fun writing a chapter in the book called The Value of Aging. I asked readers to think about areas of our experience where aging clearly increases value. The examples that I chose were whiskey, wine, cheese, trees, violins, antiques, and to think about what are the qualities that time brings out in them that makes us willing to pay more money for old versions than young versions, and then look for correspondences in human life. I think this has to do with such things as depth of character, richness, mellowing out of rawness and roughness. Aging can bring wisdom. It brings greater experience. It brings greater equanimity. We commonly see that creativity increases with aging. In our culture, which is so youth-obsessed, and where we see aging as a catastrophe, we look only at the negatives and really never think about these positive qualities.
Yeah. Would we be better off chucking the cosmetics, the rejuvenating toothpaste, all the hair dyes and everything
else?
Well,
here's what I'd say. If people want to use these things because it makes them feel better about themselves, if they like their appearance better, that's not my business. My concern is when people do these things to make it easier to pretend that aging is not occurring. I think that is not mentally healthy. Carl Jung said that he thought that a primary purpose of the second half of life was really to focus on and come to terms with our mortality, and that anything that took us away from that was not the direction of mental health. I agree with that, and I think an awful lot of people today use these techniques to mask the outward signs of aging and thus really take them away from that goal.
Kind of like the picture of Dorian Gray.
Yes.
What does it mean? What would you say it means to age gracefully?
Well, in writing this book, the main question that I tackled was, is aging synonymous with age-related disease? Now, the big categories of age-related disease are cardiovascular disease, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and its relatives. Are these necessary components of getting older? I think the answer clearly is no. It is possible to age long and well and have a rapid decline at the end. So I think aging gracefully, first of all, means embracing the aging process and then really working to stay healthy. So that means trying to delay the onset and reduce the risk of these age-related diseases. There's a technical term for this. It's not my invention. It's been in the medical literature, but I'm trying to popularize it. It's called compression of morbidity, where morbidity has the medical meaning of sickness. The idea is that you're trying to squeeze the time of disability and decline at the end of life into a shorter period as possible.
Yeah, okay. We have a couple of listeners waiting to talk with us already here this afternoon. Andrew Weil, our guest today on The Afternoon Magazine. His latest book, Healthy Aging, A Lifelong Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual Well-Being. Our first caller this afternoon is on the toll-free line, line 4. Where are you calling from this afternoon?
I'm calling from Clay City, Illinois.
Okay.
I'm 54 years old. I've got the opportunity to maybe to retire next year. My wife is retiring as of this year for 34 years, and just a couple of comments and a couple of thoughts and something to think about. I see this as an opportunity. It's just a way I want to look at things, but I sing professionally. I do Frank Sinatra style music, and I'm finding an audience for what I do. And one thing that really drives me is that there's such a prejudice against older people, especially in the music business. They think that you can't appeal to an audience, you can't get out there and perform. And I'm finding that that's a real barrier that I'm having to overcome. You got any thoughts and suggestions on the
Yeah, I think we got to change this in our society. We are way off the beam, and I think never before in history has a culture been so infatuated with youth, has so denigrated the elderly. You know, we marginalize old people. We believe that the worth of human life diminishes with age. I think the prejudice you mentioned is very, very common. Marketers target an age 18 to 49 demographic and don't care about the rest. The entertainment industry develops products for that same demographic and doesn't care about the rest. I think it's possible that all of this is up for grabs right now because the baby boomers are going to start turning 60 next year, and they are a very powerful, influential segment of the population. I don't think they're going to settle for all this. So I think this is a moment to at least start talking about this and identify these prejudices that are out there.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. If you want to hear me sing, go to www.gbprairiecrooner.com and you can hear me sing.
Great, and I'm sure singing is going to keep you aging in a healthy way.
Yeah, I'm looking to buy a condo in Branson, and that's the other nice thing about getting older. The kids are out of the house, the money is in a little different situation, and I can kind of pursue what I wanted to do that I couldn't do a few years ago. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call this afternoon. Let's talk with another listener, a caller in Boswell, Indiana, on line 3.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, great. Just a couple of comments since I'm on the cell phone and I'll hang up and listen. Not too long ago, there was an article that was kind of making its way around on the Internet. It was called, Is 50 the New 30?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 50, and I have two children, and actually my youngest is 5, and I could not imagine somebody my father's generation having a 5-year-old when they were 50. I just couldn't imagine that. My dad did live to 92, and he actually did exactly what you were talking about. He was really a picture of health right till the very end. I would say till the last 6-8 months of his life, then it was a very rapid decline. And
yep, that's compression of morbidity. And I think the what you've heard. We can see this all around us today, that people are not aging the way their parents did or their grandparents did. I commonly hear people say that 60 is the new 50 and 70 is the new 60 and so forth. I think this is because people are taking better care of themselves. We have more information. We have better products and services. And by the way, this also, I think, shows that genetics is only part of the story. I think we're all dealt a certain hand of genetic cards, some good, some bad, but it's up to us how we play them. And there's enormous room for lifestyle choices to modify genetic expression.
Well, that's right. Like I said, my father lived to a very good age. My brother, on the other hand, died at 42. He was a heavy smoker, developed a blood clot in the lung, and got an enlarged heart, and so on and so forth. So I think you're exactly right. The choices are there for us to make. The only other comment I was going to make, and then I'll hang up, is these shows on TV with these guys, the plastic surgeon, it's terrible. There's young people are getting their bodies refigured, and you feel like you want to, put your hand through the TV screen and somebody grab these kids and shake them.
I couldn't agree more. And, one of the concerns is a lot of these results don't look so good 10 years down the line.
That's
and, what are these kids that are having this done at these young ages going to be like when they're in middle age?
Well, all I have to do is take a good look at Joan Rivers, and I think they'd get their answer. Thanks a lot.
Let's talk with another listener, a caller on line 1. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi. This is I'm 58, and I'm from Champaign-Urbana.
Okay.
Dr. Weil answered in the aging question I had in his book on short-term memory loss and a substance called PS,
mm-hmm.
But I wondered if I could ask you also about immune system, like if you feel like you're coming down with a cold from flying in a plane or...
Sure. My preferred remedy is a Chinese herb called astragalus.
Okay.
Astragalus. It's easily available in any health food store. It's cheap. It's safe. And there's good research on its antiviral and immune-enhancing activity. So that's one that I'd recommend to keep around. And sometimes I tell people to just take that through the flu season if you're susceptible. There's some also good products out there that are mixtures of Asian mushrooms that are tonics that you can use every day to boost immunity. I've been on a book tour for the past, 6-7 weeks. And, a lot of flying, a lot of meeting people, and I've been using one of those mushroom tonics, and I have not gotten sick. I'm also careful about washing my hands when I shake a lot of hands. But, I think it's a good idea to think about products like this that you can use when you travel, and especially during the time of year when infections are common.
So are those tonics in any of the over-the-counter?
Yeah, you'll find them all over-the-counter in health food stores.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Next, we talk with a listener on line two listening to us this afternoon on the Internet from the state of Kansas. Good afternoon. No? It's
no.
Kansas, Illinois?
I guess.
Was misinformed.
Yeah, I guess this is a bad connection. But anyway, I wanted to ask two things. One is that the I was told that or every time somebody talks about healthy living and all, they talk about exercise, and I can really attest to that. I've been exercising since I've been in my 40s, and it's really been great. But the thing that really pays off that I can't seem to get anybody to agree with is that occasionally if you get your heart rate up there really high, you know, to the point where you're breathing hard and sweating and all, that really pays off. And nobody seems to understand and see that as well. And I was wondering.
Well, I think, first of all, the correlation between regular physical activity and good health and healthy aging is very clear. In terms of what you said, I think a lot of trainers recommend doing interval training where you push your heart rate up high. I think there are some dangers to overexercise. I discuss them in the book, and I don't really hear them acknowledged very much. You know, if you are interested in the theory of oxidative stress, one of the main source of oxidative stress is normal metabolism. And any time you rev your metabolism up, you're producing more free radicals, these natural toxins that we produce in the body. So over-exercise, too intense exercise, can be a biochemical stress. So I think it's up to you to figure out what works right for you. But I have no objection to trying to push your heart rate up to high levels in intervals as part of training.
Oh, it sure helps. I mean, I can feel it quite strongly, and it's a lasting effect. But what I really wanted, the thing that was more interesting to me was to find out, you mentioned you didn't think Alzheimer's was a natural part of aging, and since we have some in my family, I was curious as to what insights you might have about it, and
Well, we don't know the cause of Alzheimer's.
Right.
With the other neurodegenerative diseases, especially Parkinson's, and I would say close behind it, ALS, I think we're really close to proving a connection with environmental toxicity. You know, it looks as if the brain, parts of the brain, are very sensitive to toxic injury. It's not impossible that there's going to be a component of this with Alzheimer's as well. I think there's a lot that you can do to reduce the risk of Alzheimer's, and that's especially important because our treatments for it are dismal at the moment. And in the book, I give a whole list of things. One is using anti-inflammatory agents, either drugs like ibuprofen or natural agents like turmeric, which seem to have a specific Alzheimer's preventive effect, and also exercising your brain as well as exercising your body. And one good way to do that is to learn another language. People who speak more than one language have better brain function and greater protection against age-related memory loss. You don't have to master the language. It's just the act of trying to learn it that's beneficial.
Mm, well, that's interesting. Well, I just thought of something else. What do you think of DHEA?
Well, it's interesting. This is a hormone which can have favorable effects on body composition, but I would really recommend only using it under medical supervision, which means being tested to see what your DHEA levels are. It looks pretty safe, but you know there are some potential risks to it with disturbances of liver function, so I think you just want to use it with care.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Other questions, comments are invited for Dr. Andrew Weil this afternoon. We're talking about healthy aging, aging gracefully here on the Afternoon Magazine. Dr. Weil's latest book, Healthy Aging, A Lifelong Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual Well-Being. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us with the telephone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. WILL. You know, so many of us wonder if there's something we can do, if there's a magic bullet, a fountain of youth to be found in dietary supplements. What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't think so. I think that there are wonderful health-promoting substances out there. Most people in this country are deficient in omega-3 fatty acids, the one that you get from fish or fish oil. I think that adding those to the diet can cause marvelous improvements in both physical and mental health. Fruits and vegetables, the colors of them, these pigments are highly protective against cancer and other chronic diseases, and very good to include in the diet. The research that we have on tea and its health benefits is very strong. You know, all kinds of tea are beneficial. And, you know, Americans could do great by trying to substitute some tea for some of the coffee that they now drink. So those are all examples of things that I think are really good to add. And there's some specific supplements like vitamin D that we should be taking in higher amounts than we've been told. But I don't think any of these things are magical in terms of being age reversers or age erasers.
Yeah. You advocate a diet you call the anti-inflammatory diet. Is this something new? What is it?
I shouldn't have called it a diet, because diets are, by definition, things we go off of. This is an eating plan for life. And it is based on the Mediterranean diet, which I think is a sensible way of eating. But the specific intent here is to try to contain inappropriate inflammation, because chronic low-level inflammation seems to be the root cause of the age-related diseases. And dietary choices certainly interact with that. A lot of the information in here will be familiar. It's using olive oil and other good fats, getting more omega-3s, eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, reducing animal protein, eating more vegetable protein, eating slower digesting carbohydrates as opposed to rapid digesting carbohydrates, less refined and processed food, adding specific anti-inflammatory spices like ginger and turmeric, using antioxidant rich substances like green tea and dark chocolate. So that's the basic idea.
Yeah. And those colors of the food, very interesting, very important. Maybe
these pigments are what we really need. They are highly protective. They're, by the way, they're serving the same function in plants as in us. They're protecting plants from certain kinds of radiation and chemicals. And when we take them into our body, we get those same effects.
Yeah. That was interesting. I think, I don't know if it's the French, but instead of a food pyramid, they have a painter's palette.
Ah, I like that.
You know, and if your plate looks beautiful, chances are it's going to be pretty healthy.
I like that.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why an anti-inflammatory diet? What's going on in the body that we need an anti-inflammatory
approach? Well, inflammation is the... You know, we all know this on the surface of the body. It's local redness, heat, swelling, and pain. And it is the cornerstone of the body's healing response. It's the way the body gets more nourishment and more immune activity to an area that's injured or under attack. But inflammation is so powerful that if it doesn't end when it's supposed to end and doesn't stay where it's supposed to stay, it is destructive and causative of disease. You know, I think there are many pressures on us, from environmental toxicity to the way we eat, that push us in a pro-inflammatory direction. And chronic low-level inflammation, as I said, seems to be the root of these age-related diseases. Alzheimer's begins as an inflammatory process in the brain. Coronary heart disease begins as inflammation in the lining of arteries. And cancer is linked here, too, because the same hormones that increase inflammation also cause cells to divide more frequently, which is a push in the direction of malignant change. So the good news is that if all these diseases have a common root, there are common strategies for dealing with them.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana. Line one, hi.
Hi. You just mentioned some of the spices and color fruits as full of useful substances, antioxidants and things. Are there any specific studies known about the benefits of turmeric and pepper that relate to cancer prevention?
Yes, turmeric actually is one of the most studied spices and medicinal plants, and it's under active study at the moment. for its anti-inflammatory effect, anti-cancer effect, and anti-Alzheimer's effect. There was just a study published from Columbia University showing that turmeric inhibited prostate cancer, that it caused prostate cancer cells to self-destruct. And I think there's other evidence that turmeric is very useful, both as a cancer preventive and as an adjunctive treatment.
Is the benefit coming from its anti-inflammatory property, or is there a direct...
Well, it's presumably these are linked because, as I said, the hormonal, the same hormones that increase inflammation also push cells in the direction of malignant change. So changing that hormonal balance in the body might be protective.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Other questions are invited. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. We've talked a little bit about environment, maybe just scratching the surface. And one of the things that's in the environment and that we just soak up like sponges is stress.
Yes, I don't think it's possible to live without stress. I think that's
right.
Just part of human life. But what we can do is learn ways of minimizing its harmful effects on the body and the mind. The main hormone that mediates stress responses is called cortisol. And we know that cortisol is directly toxic to nerve cells in the part of the brain that processes memory. Since age-related memory loss is one of the great concerns as we grow older, I mean, that alone should be motivation to learn how to do something to protect ourselves. I think there's all sorts of methods out there. I mean, everything from yoga, biofeedback, guided relaxation, listening to relaxing music. My favorite methods are breathing techniques because they're so time and cost efficient. They're free. They take no equipment. They take just minutes a day. And some very simple breathing techniques are the best stress neutralizers I've found.
Mm. Take a deep breath.
Yep, and make your breathing deeper, slower, quieter, and more regular.
Okay, let's talk with another listener. Caller in Tuscola. Line 4, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Dr. Weil, do you have any suggestions for food or supplements or anything like that to help with UTI?
Well, I think the most studied one is cranberry,
yeah.
And that's best taken in the form of an extract to avoid all the sugar that's in cranberry juice. So you can get cranberry extract easily in health food stores. It's quite safe. I would recommend using that. And then you also want to try to eliminate from the diet urinary tract irritants, and that's things like coffee and sometimes other forms of caffeine, alcohol, spices like black pepper. But that would be my first choice.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
You're welcome. Let's talk with another caller. Line 1, Champaign, hi.
Hello. You had said that for a supplement you did not recommend having any preformed vitamin A.
Yes.
And also that you had reduced the amount of carotenes to 15,000 IU,
mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what your reasoning was for those two things.
Okay, with vitamin A, I think there's very clear evidence that vitamin A itself, which is also called retinol, is toxic, and it's toxic to many organs, and there's no reason ever to take vitamin A except when a doctor's orders for very special cases. So when you look at a multivitamin, you want to make sure there's no actual vitamin A there in the form of retinol. Some products will say they contain vitamin A, but then when you look at the fine print, it says as beta-carotene. That's okay. You can take beta-carotene, other carotenoids, and you let your body make the vitamin A it needs from that. That's fine. In terms of the carotenoid dosage, this is really based, and you know, I try to follow the current medical research, and as things change, I change the recommendations for formulas. So I just think this is a more optimum dose, and more than that is probably not necessary.
What? How about for like fish oil, where you would get some vitamin A?
I wouldn't worry about that. The amounts are too small, and you know, fish oil, I generally recommend a starting dose of a gram a day, and then significantly higher for treatment of specific conditions.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line 2. Hi.
Hello. Two things. One, Dr. Weil mentioned a stress reduction technique called biofeedback. This is something I've heard and associated it with, you know, just hypnotism or mesmerism and kind of dismissed. But I'd actually like to hear a definition of what it is, who one has to see if you're...
Okay, biofeedback's been around for a long time. Okay. It's a technique of amplifying things, processes in the body that you would normally not be conscious of, and that when you are consciously aware of them, you can learn to modify them. So this uses technology. A simple device is connecting a thermocouple to your fingers so that you can be aware of your hand temperature. Sometimes this is converted to an auditory signal like a beep, and the faster the beeps, the higher your skin temperature. So your job is to make your hands warmer. If I just told you to make your hands warmer, you wouldn't have a clue how to do it. But if you have that kind of feedback to something that you can perceive, you learn how to do it fairly quickly. So when you learn how to make your hands warmer, what you're doing is relaxing the involuntary nerves that control the diameter of little blood vessels. Normally, we don't have control over that.
Okay.
And learning to warm your hands that way has a lot of benefits. It lowers blood pressure. It can abort migraine headaches. The way you learn this is you go to a certified biofeedback therapist. They're usually listed in the yellow pages. And there's a standard course of maybe 10 sessions in which you practice this. And then once you get the feel of it, you can then do it on your own at home without the device.
Okay.
There's some more elaborate setups now, teaching people to modify their brain wave activity. I think it's a very sensible technique.
One other thing, something that found a healthy diet to be interesting but difficult, and a friend of mine actually just loaned me a cookbook with your name on it, and it's mm-hmm. another chef, and I've actually found this to be extremely useful.
Oh, great. I wrote it with Rosie Daly, who okay. was Oprah's chef, and
mm-hmm.
I tried to put a lot of basic nutritional information in there, too, in convenient form.
It's been really great for me, and I just thought I'd recommend it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Thanks. It's called The Healthy Kitchen.
The Healthy Kitchen with Rosie Daly.
Right.
Let's go and talk with another listener. Caller in Charleston, line 3. Go ahead.
Hi, this is fascinating. I'm really enjoying it. I have a question. You're talking about vitamin A and retinol. I was noticing that there are a lot of additives and things in these skin products that have retinol. Is that the same thing?
Well, it is, and there is a, vitamin A applied to the skin maybe have a different purpose. I would not ingest retinol,
mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of vitamin A derivatives that are used in skin products. That's a whole other story, the kinds of things that go into skin products and trying to understand those labels and what are okay ingredients and what are not.
Mm-hmm. Two other things. I was fascinated by a story quite a while ago. They had been doing some research on nuns who granted their brains to research.
Yes.
And the learning capacity, you know, kept them all very young. The other thing is, could you speak to yoga and that kind of thing for flexibility?
Well, I think yoga is terrific, and there are all forms of it. There are some very strenuous forms out there, but for older people, there are very gentle forms. There's a system called therapeutic yoga, which is appropriate for people who may be ailing. I would never have predicted that yoga would have penetrated this culture the way that it has. I think that's, you know, any more than I would have predicted that Americans would be eating sushi in such quantity. I think, you know, all that represents a kind of blending of East and West, which is good. Yoga is an ancient system. I think it's got many benefits, not only for flexibility, but also for general relaxation. There's some good medical research showing that older people who do yoga or Tai Chi also...
Yeah.
Are less likely to fall, and if they do fall, they're less likely to injure themselves. So I think this is, you know, a very good thing that would be great to introduce this more into senior facilities and to give people training in it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Let's talk with another caller. Listener in Champaign on line 1, you're on the air with Dr. Andrew Weil.
Hello, Dr. Weil. I've admired your approach for many years now.
Thank you.
But I'm surprised that we've gone this long talking about aging and nobody's mentioned arthritis. And I wonder is it considered an autoimmune disease? Does anybody have any idea what causes it? I had a mother with a pretty severe case of osteoarthritis, and I've recently been told that I have a little or no cartilage left in my knees,
right.
And I'm wanting to know what I can do about it. It came on me rather quickly.
Well, there are many forms of arthritis. The form that strikes younger people, mainly women, rheumatoid arthritis, is an autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
Osteoarthritis, the more common form that affects older people, we're not really sure what that's due to. In some cases, it's due to overuse of joints, to degeneration of cartilage. One thing you can try is to take glucosamine and chondroitin, these supplements that may help rebuild cartilage in joints. I would give it a two-month trial.
I have taken those since I heard about it, which
was
some years back, and I'm not sure it's helped.
Okay, you want to make sure you're using a good brand of it, so you might check to find out. But if it hasn't helped, then it hasn't helped.
Mm-hmm.
You can also try, there are some very good natural anti-inflammatory agents that use ginger and turmeric and are safer than the pharmaceutical drugs that we use. It's worth doing the right kind of exercise. You know, some kind of movement in water is usually very beneficial. The anti-inflammatory diet in the book will be helpful to you. Acupuncture can be very useful as a symptomatic treatment for
arthritis. That was what I was about to try next, so I'm interested to hear
you say
that.
There is some good evidence that, you know, acupuncture works as a symptomatic treatment, and I would certainly give it a try.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. What do you say to someone who says, you know, I'm trying to do my best, but I'm getting older. How do I keep my spirits up?
Well, I think one secret is to find other people your age or older who are happy and in a good place. You know, I think it's great to take an inventory of people in your life and whose company you feel better and to make a resolution to spend more time with them. So, you know, seek out examples, living examples of healthy aging and see what they have to teach you.
Okay, let's talk with another listener. Caller in Vermilion County, line 4. Good afternoon.
Hi. As we get older, I know that our circulation sometimes decreases because lots of times you go and visit older people and they have the heat turned up higher. Having eliminated my thyroid as a cause of feeling cold, I've been cold all the time, especially in this kind of weather. And the only way I know to warm up is either go outside and come back in where it's warmer or vacuum or something. Is there any biofeedback technique or anything?
Well, learning to warm your hands in biofeedback might be helpful, but even simpler would be to practice the relaxing breathing technique that I teach. You'll find this in the book. You'll find it on my website, drweil.com. I have an audio program out called Breathing, the Master Key to Good Health that you should be able to find in any bookstore. It's a really simple technique, and I've met people who've had cold hands all their life who've gotten warm after practicing this for a while. So I would really recommend that to you. You might also try taking some red pepper, chili pepper. You can get this in capsules if you don't like to eat it in your food. It is a circulatory stimulant, and it actually helps to warm you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Next, we talk with a listener in Mahomet. Line 1, good afternoon.
Hi. I have some symptoms of arthritis, and I know people are benefiting from glucosamine, chondroitin, but I'm afraid to take it because I'm allergic to shellfish. Is this correct, or is there another answer for me?
That can be a problem. People with shellfish allergies may have a reaction, so I would certainly use it cautiously if you have a violent reaction, but you could try a little bit and see how it agrees with you and gradually work the dose up. You might also try this natural anti-inflammatory agent that I mentioned. One brand that's out there is called Zyflamend, Zyflamend, and it's ginger and turmeric and several other herbs. It works quite well.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck. Next, we talk with a listener in Chicago. Line 2, hi.
Thank you. Along with the good things you recommended, you did touch upon chocolate. I recently read an item last month that we now find lead to be an ominous element that they've discovered to be in chocolate. So I thought I'd update a little view on that comfort food in case that you go overboard on it.
I will check on that. I have not heard that, so I will check and see what I can find.
Another item, recently one of the celebrity actresses, Suzanne Summers, I believe, had a book out where she said she reconstituted her and her husband's life by having their hormones checked out and getting them into balance as they
Yeah, I'm a little suspicious of this. Hormones are very powerful, and they're not benign. I think they should only be taken if there's a clear need for them. So, you know, it may be that we're meant to have declining hormones as we move through life, and it's not clear that restoring them to youthful levels is beneficial.
Well, I guess they can afford it. another item regarding water. We're still into the situation. How many glasses of water, or should we count the water we get in our soups and other beverages?
Well, it's all good. I think you can watch your urinary output. And, you know, I usually tell people to just try to drink more water or beverages that are mostly water until you can detect you know, that you're urinating more frequently, and the color of urine should be light, not concentrated.
I heard a very interesting interview just to finish up last night on Charlie Rose. He had Governor Huckabee of Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
He wrote a book about digging your own grave with your knife and fork, and he talked about his having reached a weight of about 300 pounds.
Wow.
And finally reduced it down to 200-something, but he gave an illustration in some of the schools. He asked one of the young boys that were around 110 pounds, he said, and he lifted him up on his back. He said, this is what I was carrying around all those years.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. So we've got to deal with that obesity situation in our declining years, what with lack of activity and so forth.
Right.
But thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, let's talk with another caller. Champaign County, line 3.
Hi. I guess you probably occasionally get a call from this, trying to tie your earlier writings like The Natural Mind.
I'm happy to do that.
You know, we know that diet isn't everything, like, cholesterol can go up because of stress and not,
right,
not vice versa and things like that. And I just wanted you to just generally tie that up because, you know, people talk about mood and being important. And in the past, well, you can tell them.
Well, my early books are about altered states of consciousness and psychoactive drugs. I have been a longtime proponent of medical marijuana use. I think its benefits greatly outweigh its risks, although I'd rather see people take it in forms other than smoking. There actually has been some very interesting research coming out recently about positive health effects of marijuana, anti-cancer effects, and also demonstrations that it can stimulate regrowth of nerve cells in the part of the brain, the hippocampus, that processes memory. You know, that's very dramatic news. So that's one example of some of the benefits of these substances.
That is regeneration of nerve cells.
Yeah.
That actually is some of the theory of your, I guess, I don't know if you regard them as nemesis, but the people that talk about, you know, how eventually we're regeneration abilities,
right,
will be around.
Well, clearly we've got, you know, there is regenerative potential there. You know, we have genes that, if activated, can stimulate regeneration. I mean, there's a concern about these can also stimulate growth of cancers, but I certainly can glimpse the possibility that one day we will be able to regenerate severed spinal cords or areas of heart muscle that have died. I mean, that seems to me a very, you know, amazing frontier of medicine.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Someone called us who couldn't stay on the line with us but has this question, and they have a number of problems. They have cancer, heart disease, and a neurological disorder. They've got some back pain and sleep disorders. How can you help?
Well, you know, this is the kind of thing that should be taken to a practitioner of integrative medicine, which is the system that I practice and,
mm-hmm,
teach at the University of Arizona. We've now trained over 250 physicians. And if you will go to the program's website, which is www.integrativemedicine.arizona.edu, there's a Find a Practitioner section there, and a map of the U.S. will come up, and you can find doctors that we've trained near you. And I think taking a complicated case like that to a physician with an integrative perspective, you know, that's certainly what I would do.
Yeah, okay. We've got to wrap it up here pretty quickly, but one of the things I really wanted to get to and talk with you about this afternoon was, it has to do with the subtitle of your book, A Lifelong Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual,
yes,
Well-Being. Talk with us about the importance of the spirit, and maybe you would also mention, talk with us a little bit about the ethical will.
I asked people to consider what part of us does not change as we move through time. My experience, and I think many people share this, is that some part of me feels the same now, I'm 63 now, as when I was 6. You know, what is the part of us that doesn't change? You know, I've called that unchanging essence. I think it is our spirit. And I think it's very useful to attend to that and pay attention to that. It's the non-physical part of ourself. The ethical will, this is something I came across in researching this book. You know, an ordinary will is about leaving your material possessions when you die. An ethical will is about organizing and leaving behind your non-material possessions, your life experiences, your values. Originally, this something that comes out of Jewish tradition, but now it has really escaped that, and it's not necessarily mm-hmm. something you do at the end of life. It's a document in which you write down things you have learned and experiences that you'd like to pass on to family and friends. You can set this aside and take it out at critical points in your life and revise it. I think it's a very useful spiritual exercise, and as well as a wonderful legacy to leave.
Yeah. Also, it can tell you where the deficits are, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Shows you where you need to work.
Okay. There, we've got to wrap it up. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Andrew Weil, MD, our guest this afternoon in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. His latest book, Healthy Aging, A Lifelong Guide to Your Physical and Spiritual Well-Being, published by Knopp. You can find him on the web at drweil.com and at www.healthyaging.com. 8 minutes before 2 o'clock Central Time, Todd Gleason joins us now with settlement prices from the Chicago Board of Trade.
Thanks much, Celeste. From the board this afternoon, turnaround Tuesday in the bean pit. Yesterday, pretty good day up on the bean pit. Today, moving back lower, down 9 cents in the nearby contracts. We'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, about what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, in particular in the bean pit, at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time this afternoon during the closing market report. Now, let's start in the Kansas City Board of Trade wheat pit, where the nearby December contract traded 4 cents lower today. 367 was the high, the low at 363. And their settlement price for the day at 363, down 4. July futures, a 356 high, low at 351. Settlement price at 353.5 at the Kansas City Board of Trade for the wheat. The hard red winter wheat down a penny and a half. December soft red winter wheat from the Board of Trade, a high today of 305, low at 299. Settlement price at 299.75. They were down 4.75 for the day. The March contract, a 321 high, a low at 314.25. Settlement price at 315.75, down 4.5 cents. In the May futures, a 330.5 high, low at 323.75. Their settlement at 325. They were off 4.5 for the day. And July futures, 338.5 the high, the low at 32. Settlement price at 333.5. They were down a nickel on the day. From the corn pit now, December contract, 193.5 the high. The low, $1.90. Settlement price at $1.90.75. For the Deese corn, they were off 2.75 today. The March futures, 206.75 the high, the low at 203.25. Settlement price at 204.25, and they were down 2.5 cents on the day. May futures, 215.5 the high, the low at 212.25. Settled at 213, down 2.5 cents. In July contract, a 223.5 high, low at 220.5. A settlement price at $2.21, they were down 2.75. September contract now, 231.5 the high, the low at 229. Settlement price at $2.29.5, down 2.25. In December futures, 242 the high, low at 240, settlement price at 240.5, and they were off 2.25 on the day. December oats, 211.5, the high, the low at 208, settlement price 208.5, down a penny and a half. In the March contract, 197.25, the high, the low at 191.75, and a settlement at 195. They were down 3/4 for the day. Soy complex, January beans, 572.5, the high, the low at 561.5, settlement price at $5.64. They were down 9.25 on the day. And the nearby March, 578 high, low at 568, settlement price at $5.71, off 8.5 cents. May futures, 582.5, the high, the low at 573, settled at 575.5, they were off 8 cents. In July contract, a 588 high, low at 578.5, settlement price at $5.81.25, down 7 cents. August futures, 587.5, the high, the low at 581. Settled at $5.82, down 8.25 for the day. September futures, 587, the high, the low at 582. Settlement at 583, they were off 7.5 cents. In November contract at 593 high, low at 584.75. Settlement price there at 587, they were down 6.75 for the day. Soybean meal, December contract, 176.50, the high, the low at 173.70. Settlement price at 175.10, they were off 50. And the January futures were down 60 cents. At 174.80 for the day. December bean oil, 21.63 the high, the low at 21.03. And their settlement price at $21.05, down 61. January oil, $21.80 the high, the low at $21.27. Settlement price there at $21.33. They were down 58 on the day. Now here's Celeste Quinn with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
Okay, livestock prices lower today. Feeder cattle, here we go. Okay, different kind of script here today. All right, January feeder cattle, the high 116 even, the low 115.05, the settlement 115.32.5, that down 105. March feeder cattle, 114.55, the high 113.80, the low 114.10, the settlement, that down 82.5. April feeder cattle, the high today 112.60, the low 111.95, the settlement 112.32.5, that down 77.5. December live cattle, 92.75, the high 91.90, the low, the settlement 92.72.5, that down 12.5. February 95.75, the high 94.85, the low 95.47.5, the settlement, that down 27.5. December lean hogs, today's high 62.85, the low 62 even, the settlement 62.65, that down 35. February 66.30, the high 65.20, the low 65.80, the settlement, that down 52.5. April, the high 69.20, the low 68.20, the settlement 68.55, that down 75. May lean hogs 70.30, the high 69.80, the low 70.22.5, the settlement, that finishing down 47.5. And February pork bellies, today's high 89.30, the low 86.60, the settlement 87.57.5, that down 145. The Dow is up 80 points at 10,915. The NASDAQ 17 higher at 2275. The S&P 500 up 9 at 1271.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Next time on The World from PRI and the BBC, the first Peace Corps volunteers were sent abroad in 1961. They taught school children, assisted farmers, and helped improve lives for entire villages. The Peace Corps continues to bring American know-how to the world's poorest nations, but growing anti-American sentiment is posing new challenges. Today's Peace Corps and the day's news coming up this afternoon on The World at 3 o'clock Central Time. You can also hear the program with updated newscasts at 7 o'clock Central Time this evening. Ed Kieser's forecast for Illinois and Indiana. In northern and central Illinois and most of Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries. In southern Illinois and far southwestern Indiana, mostly sunny, highs ranging from 10 in far northwestern Illinois to 36 in the far south. Tonight in far northern Indiana, mostly cloudy with snow showers. Elsewhere, partly cloudy. Lows ranging from 3 below zero in northwestern Illinois to 17 above in the far south. Tomorrow in far northern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 10 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in the south. In Champaign-Urbana this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a few flurries. The high 21 tonight, partly cloudy and cold. The low 4. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. The high 21.